The Gospel Lesson from Mark. When they went on from there and passed through Galilee, he did not want anyone to know it, for he was teaching his disciples, saying to them, "The Son of Man is to be betrayed into the human hands, and they will kill him, and 3 days after being killed, he will rise again." But they did not understand what he was saying, and they were afraid to ask him. Then they came to Capernaum, and when he was in the house, he asked them, "What were you arguing about on the way?" But they were silent, for on the way they had argued with one another who was the greatest. And he sat down, called the 12, and said to them, "Whoever wants to be first must be last of all, and servant of all." Then he took a little child and put it among them, and taking it into his arms, he said to them, "Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes not me, but the one who sent me." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
This morning's lectionary readings give us two texts which warn against ambition and the thirst for power and position. The first is from James, who says, "If you have bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not be arrogant and lie about the truth." And the second comes from Jesus, who tells us that whoever wishes to be great must be least and servant of all. If you have bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not be arrogant and lie about the truth. And whoever wants to be great must be servant. I'm no Calvinist, but have two texts ever been better appointed on the eve of a presidential election? James cautions against ambition. Jesus admonishes about power. And so then we are given the great paradox of our gospel, that the first shall be last, and the last shall be first, and the one who welcomes someone as weak and powerless as a little child actually welcomes God. This morning, I want to speak mainly about a man who welcomed children here for 30-some-odd years. And though he was once considered least in this church, will next week assume a place of greatest honor and respect. As has already been said this morning, Mr. John Thomas was janitor for Broadway Baptist Church from 1924 until his death in 1959. A World War I veteran, Mr. Thomas was serving as a Pullman porter on the train where Broadway's pastor, Forrest Smith, first met him and offered him a job if Mr. Thomas ever found himself in Fort Worth. Before long, Mr. Thomas did make it to Fort Worth, where he began his long and distinguished career at Broadway. I discovered how distinguished as I was reading the not one, but two volume set of our church history, Living Stones. a sure cure for insomnia. And found Mr. Thomas mentioned multiple times and with esteem. Not many janitors make the pages of local church histories, much less with honor, but Mr. Thomas did. And most striking to me was the report on Mr. Thomas's funeral, which took place here in this sanctuary. Only the second such a service to take place for a black person in a white church in the history of this city. After reading about that, I preached on it. And the next Sunday, Pastor Forrest Smith's great-grandson, Jim Collier, presented me with a photo of Mr. Thomas, which had been in his family's possession for 7 or 8 decades. That told me something about Mr. Thomas's special place, not only in the history of this church, but also in the hearts of its members. It was then that I began to learn from Jim and other longtime Broadway members about Mr. Thomas and his beautiful, but also painful relationship with the congregation. By all accounts, Mr. Thomas was a wonderful human being and a deeply dedicated servant of this church. He loved the Lord and the house of the Lord, and he served both extremely and extraordinarily well. Mr. Thomas was particularly good with and kind towards children. And serving here 3 decades as he did, he was therefore duly honored by multiple generations of Broadway members who all grew up with Mr. Thomas. But honored and respected as he was, Mr. Thomas's service coincided with the era and error of Jim Crow. So Mr. Thomas could clean and polish the pews Monday through Saturday, but he could not sit in the sanctuary on Sunday mornings. Neither, of course, could he join the church because of our participation in the sins of segregation and white supremacy and the keeping of the color line. Therefore, though he was much loved by this church and himself loved it dearly, Mr. Thomas was nonetheless made to sit alone in the baptistry for 3 decades of Sunday morning services rather than together with the people. And hearing of this injustice, I preached another sermon about Mr. Thomas and said I thought something should be done in the baptistry to honor him. And that was when the Spirit began to move and an even better idea was imagined for honoring Mr. Thomas. It was decided that a plaque would indeed be placed up in the baptistry, and it was also decided that a portrait would be installed permanently in our narthex to publicly honor Mr. Thomas and make reparation for the harm of dishonor which we had caused him. So next Saturday, with the permission of Mr. Thomas's family, a portrait of Mr. Thomas painted by Fort Worth native and Smithsonian caliber artist Cedric Huckabee will be publicly and permanently dedicated on the 100th anniversary of the hiring of Mr. Thomas by Broadway. And then on Sunday morning, Mr. Thomas's granddaughter, the Reverend Nelda Barrett Moraine, will preach the sermon in honor of the occasion. It's been a long time coming, but a change has come to Broadway. And this portrait will be a kind of sacrament of that change, an outer and visible sign of an inner and invisible transformation. Mr. Thomas was a key part of that transformation himself. He loved this church, and he cared for it and its people. His grandchildren say he didn't think the doors of Broadway Baptist Church could be opened without him. I think that is true, both literally and also figuratively, physically and also spiritually. Our doors would never have been open for the funeral of a black man in 1959, nor would we have been one of the first historically white Southern congregations to vote to integrate its membership had it not been for Mr. Thomas opening the doors of this church and also opening the hearts and the minds of its members. So much more about the meaning of this memorial could and should be said. Telling the truth and making reparation are key components in the process of reconciliation. This is core Judeo-Christian teaching in the doctrine of our atonement. And it is crucial to both our individual and also corporate healing. This nation will never heal from the deep wound of racism until the truth is told and reparation is made. But behind the racially symbolic corporate meaning of this portrait, there is also a very simple, personal, and deeply Christian meaning in its message. That message is this: a genuinely decent and honorable man served God and others with humility all his life. He never aspired to be the greatest, but in fact devoted himself with all of his heart to the work many would consider the very lowest. He died. Yet in death, the goodness of this man was finally seen by all for all of its greatness. So the least and servant of all became the most honored of all. And the one who occupied the last and lowest of all places in life assumed the first and greatest place in death. This is a Christian story with a Christian message. For the Bible itself says that Jesus himself, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but instead humbled himself and became a servant and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above all names, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And now, Mr. John Thomas is being exalted to the highest place. For I am aware of no other portrait of any individual at Broadway but Mr. Thomas's, this servant janitor's, will be the first and only. The title the artist Cedric Huckabee selected for his portrait of Mr. Thomas comes from something Jesus once said about the first and last place. He told his disciples that when they are invited to a banquet, they were to take the lowest place, so that when the host came, he would say to them, "Friend, move up to a better place." For then Jesus said, "You will be honored in the presence of all of the other guests." Thus the title of this portrait given by Mr. Huckabee, who must know his Bible himself. "Mr. Thomas, please come up higher to sit." So there now by the front door, Mr. Thomas will be. And the last becomes first, and the least greatest, and the servant of all now the most honored of all. On earth, even as it is in heaven. At Mr. Thomas's funeral, the black press was present because it was such a noteworthy occasion. They reported over 1,000 people in attendance, some coming just to say that they were a part of it, and some coming just to see what a white minister would say about a black man and how he would say it. You can read between the lines in the paper to know what the black press was saying about that. And I'm glad to say that Reverend H. Guy Moore got good reviews. And how could he have not done well? With the life of Mr. Thomas to preach about, and the text selected for the occasion to preach on, which was from the 84th Psalm, the one about the doorkeeper in the house of God. Mr. Thomas was our doorkeeper. The doors would never have opened here in the way that they did without Him and His Spirit. And I pray that that same Spirit will watch over our doors for generations to come. And that all who enter this church will know the power of reparation and reconciliation and healing and the profoundly Christian witness of this good and faithful servant of God and the church. Mr. Thomas, please come up higher to sit. Come and sit in the sanctuary and not the baptistry. Come and sit in the front and not in the back. Come up higher and sit. Come and take your rightful seat at the banquet of our reconciliation and redemption. Thanks be to God. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and together all of God's people do say, Amen.